Welcome to episode 34 of the 5-Minute Major podcast of STL presented by Across the Board Board Games. We are going to talk playoff hockey, wild end of the season. We came down to the last game of the year for the St. Louis Blues. We're going to give you a little bit of a preview on the matchup for the Blues, and we're going to talk all things NHL playoffs. How you doing, Mikey?
Doing good. Better now that it's over with, and we can focus on the series. The series at hand. We pulled Winnipeg, as everyone knows. It's going to be a tough battle. I think it goes seven games. And the bias pick is the Blues to pull it off. But we'll see. It's going to be a big test for them. We got to stop the hottest team in the NHL, or just the best team in the NHL. You know, that's all it takes. We'll see if the President's Trophy curse is still active.
I hope it is.
Yeah, like Josh said, we'll talk playoffs. We're going to mention a little bit of NHL news, just kind of some stuff that I had written like a week and a half ago before we recorded this, and to catch everyone up. And then we have an awesome interview. We actually just talked to Mr. Tom Calhoun. So everyone, if you don't know, he's been the PA announcer of the Blues for nearly 40 years. He has awesome stories. He's met everybody under the sun from St. Louis. So it's a great one. It's about 40 minutes long. We talked for a while, but he has some great stories, so you guys are going to love it. And we'll get to that after a little bit of news here.
Start us off, Mikey, with Erik Karlsson there.
Yeah, so I don't even know what game this was. The Penguins are stinky, but Erik Karlsson netted his 200th career goal. He's the 23rd defenseman to do it. Some numbers for you. Shea Weber has 224. So Shea hasn't played in like 7 years, and he's still ahead of Karlsson, which is crazy to think
about. Pretty sure he's still getting paid, too.
Oh, yeah. Blackhawks took on the contract.
Yeah, is it Blackhawks now got his contract?
And then Burns still going, too, with 261, and then Big Al, 340, and Raymond Bourque at 410. So, I mean, some big names close to him. I mean, Shea Weber, man, what a career. Didn't even realize it. You want to go to this next one? This was wild, dude.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter, but it's wild.
No, it was wild. Vancouver scores 3 goals in the final minute of regulation to tie the Dallas Stars. And then they proceed to win the game in overtime. First team in NHL, sounds like, to do this, which is pretty insane. That
it doesn't make any sense. No. 3 goals in one minute.
1 minute.
Tie, and then you win.
That's like goal, face-off, goal, face-off, goal. Like,
yeah. What the
holy
heck?
Cow.
Oh,
it's been a season of records, though. Blues set the record for their franchise. You got Vancouver setting a record in NHL history. Like,
Ovi. It's actually, Ovi.
So it's been crazy. It's wild, which I think a lot of these records, I don't think people would have thought would have happened or would be getting beat, and here we are.
I mean, it was desperation for the Canucks at the time before they got eliminated. I pulled some stats on this, so here's a couple fastest records, if you know what I mean. Fastest team to score 3 goals in a row in a game was the Flames in 93. They did 3 of them in 53 seconds. So that was just 3 goals the fastest. This is 3 goals to tie to win.
Yeah.
So like in the final minute of a game, I should say. So they were close to that, though. I think it was like 58 seconds. And the fastest hat trick was a Blackhawk named Bill Mosienko from the 50s. He scored 3 goals.
Oh my gosh. That's like you cross the blue line and then you just wind up and put one on net and just like, all right, we'll see what happens.
That doesn't make any sense.
No.
Now the fact that I'm reading this, I guess this is, so the team record is for 3 goals is 53 seconds, but to get a hat trick is 21 seconds. So technically the Blackhawks had the record.
Yeah.
And that's how it goes. It's wild. And then fastest goals scored back to back. This was recent, actually. It was 2 and 2 seconds by the Habs in 2018, and it was Domi Armia. That's your drop the puck in the net, empty netter or something crazy like that. But All right, we're gonna talk about kind of the status of some teams now. Yeah. At least two kind of contender type teams. You know, injuries are brutal in this league, man. When you get to this time of the year, people get hurt all the time, or they get hurt. And these are two teams that are kind of going through right now, and we think that it's going to affect the way they're going to pull out in the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, this first one I think is definitely going to play a huge role in their first round matchup. So the Edmonton Oilers at home, possibly out longer than expected. I was seeing he could be done for the year.
That's which, just bad.
If Ekholm's out for the year, the Oilers don't have him. I have them winning the first round, in my opinion, because McJesus is hard to bet against.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you make a long playoff run. Maybe should have just kept Broberg, but...
I mean, you can say that he got injured this year, too, but... I mean, you're relying on Bouchard.
Jake Walman.
Walman's hurt.
Oh, he's hurt too.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So they're relying on Bouchard and Nurse, basically, which is just not the defensive pair.
Not you know the group I mean? You want to rely on there.
And then Skinner's been dealing with some injuries, and
Arvidsson's like, been off and on with injuries too.
Like, him and Jeff Skinner have kind of picked it up a little bit, I guess. Kane's still on IR. They're maybe ready for the playoffs, and then another big one, which. We talked about trading for this kid. Yeah. Really happy we didn't. Frederick's out again. So he came back, played 6-7 seconds, got hurt, out again. Brutal. Contract year, you're not getting any money. Sorry.
I don't know though. He'll get paid more than we think.
I mean, probably because he has the potential, right? And he's still super young, but if you're getting hurt like that, like hopefully a whole off-season rehab, he's fine.
I will say, we'll see how he is in the off-season, because it could be dark horse cheap signing for the Blues if he's sitting out there.
I mean, not just the Blues, but like Blackhawks.
Blackhawks.
They just lost Pat Maroon.
Pat Maroon retires. Shout out to Big Rig.
Yeah. Yeah. As for the Oilers versus the Kings, bro, I have the Kings winning the series. You have the Oilers just because McDavid and Draisaitl are insane.
Yeah.
It'll go 7. Yeah. I think the ultimate win here is LA having the home advantage off the rip, and they literally don't lose at home. So if Oilers can split one away in LA, split again at home, after that, I think the Kings can take the series. Like, yeah. I think Edmonton's gonna have to go up 3-1.
Yeah, I will post all of our picks, and my girlfriend Swain is also in on the action this year, picking who she thinks will win. She has the Oilers in 6, but she just loves McDavid. So,
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, but dude, the Kings just play unreal, like defense, boring, super slow hockey, and Kemper's been unreal. So we'll see. Yeah. It's gonna be a great series.
Yeah, Dallas though, man. They are limping in, but I still think they are a favorite to win this.
Okay, so they're going in the playoffs with 7 straight losses. Never good. Never good.
You got Sagan back, though, baby. He's back. Yeah,
he contributed in that first game. But then Jason Robertson got hurt again.
Yeah. He left the arena in a knee brace and limping pretty good from what it sounds like. So
yeah. So Sagan's back. He's 39 years old. He's 50. Gonna have to produce. And then your best young player, Robertson, my second best young player, I guess, is in a knee brace. Then your best defenseman is still hurting, Haskinen.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know. I think Harley's been great. I think Dallas is the deepest team in the West.
You got Lindell. You got Harley. You got young guys that are just studs. I don't bet against Jake Oettinger, man. He didn't look as good as I thought he would in Four Nations, but that guy is hard to bet against. He's a gamer.
Yeah, he's a gamer. I think he's top 5 in the league, obviously. Oh, for sure. I think he might be the second best. I mean,
yeah.
Anyways, Dallas, man, but they're limp. My thing is, being the hot team going into the playoffs is so big. Like, the Blues kind of technically are limping in. Yep. Like if the win streak could have been 4 days later, I mean, who knows? We might not have made it, but still, like if we could have maybe just kind of went win-loss, like that's still momentum. Dallas 7th Street, then you're going up against a Colorado team who, okay, they've had some injuries too, but you have Nathan MacKinnon playing his best hockey. Makar is unworldly right now, otherworldly. You got Eric Johnson back, locker room guy. You got your captain back, finally, in Gabe Landeskog. And then they also have Charlie Coyle, Brock Nelson. Like, their team's stacked.
That's low true. Key. I will say, like, it's going to be a very competitive game. Like, I don't know. I think what did our predictions we had on this series with
I had
Dallas.
Colorado in 7.
Yeah, you have Colorado in 7. I have the Stars in 7. Swain, with like no updates, just goes, I have the Stars in 4. And I was like, okay, let's go. Bring it on.
I love it, though. I would love to see the Avalanche get bounced.
Yeah, if the Avalanche get bounced in the first round, I'm not going to be upset. And then we can just continue the same pathway that we took for.
Literally.
The only thing, we don't have the Sharks to get past.
Thank God. They stink anyway.
Also,
shout out. It's going to be LA.
Logan Couture, man. What a career. Yeah. I hate seeing you having to medically retire. Like, I enjoyed watching him play. He was a very fun hockey player. He was great. A lot of skill, in all honesty, still a lot of potential. So,
yeah, I mean, he's a vet now, but he's been out so long and that injury just killing him, man. It stinks. He was a season away of getting 1,000 games, too.
Yeah.
He's 67 games away from 1,000. He has 701 points. Consistently been a 50, 60, 70 point guy.
Yeah.
Killed the Blues in the playoffs. Yeah. So the year they made the cup, 30 points in 24 games. The last year they made it was the year we won the cup. He had 20 points in 20 games. Playoff gamer, dude.
Yeah.
And,
for sure.
Like, Sharks went down and now he's going down. Like, the organization's kind of turning a leaf. You know, Celebrini and Will Smith and those kind of guys.
But they're building a good foundation, in my opinion. I think.
I agree.
They got to start fixing the back end, though, but we'll see what they do.
Yeah, I think they could be like a destination for some, maybe to turn it around quicker than you think, especially if Macklin and Will just kind of are taking off and are like 82 point per game players. Like, they could snag kind of a couple vet D-men. They really need a goalie.
Yeah.
It was announced today that Greer's totally just like, see you, Georgiev. He said, bye. We don't want you.
Yeah.
So Georgiev's a free agent or whatever he is. I think he needs to go play in Europe because he stinks.
Yeah. Time will tell. I wonder if that's a team that is calling the Blues with how much depth we have at the goalie position.
You never know.
Zarankov, Colton Ellis, Joel Hofer. Yeah. If you're willing to pay, and it's going to cost you some. But you're very interested to see where it goes.
Yeah. It would be interesting. It would stink to see Hofer go because I feel like Bennington's kind of at the climax. You know what I mean? Like,
no, he's still
a gamer. But
I think Hofer stays. I really do think Hofer's your goalie of the future. And then I think, in my opinion, I would like to see Benner.
Branko or Ellis.
Yeah. I think Benner's really got to finish it out here, though.
Oh, yeah. There ain't no way.
Along with a statue.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. We talked about that one episode.
Yeah.
Who's getting a statue? It's definitely Jordan Bennington.
Yeah.
I would be surprised.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if his number's not retired. Like, he's got almost all the records now for goaltending.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. We're going to get to the interview with Tom here in a second. We want to mention again, as we did in the last episode, that Across the Board has a great promotion going for their penny hockey game. It's playoff hockey, guys. You're going to have people over to watch the games. You want to enjoy your time during intermission. You can play some quick penny hockey games with Across the Board. Josh, mention the promotion.
Yeah, the Stanley Cup playoffs are back, and the St. Louis Blues are finally back in the mix after 3 years. All NHL licensed penny hockey games right now are 25% off. So get online. Make sure you get your penny hockey game. They're here in St. Louis. Quick return. go get one today.
Yeah, just take advantage, guys. It's a great offer. It's genuinely good deal. We have their website linked below. They have a storefront in West County Mall. You can contact them via email or phone number, which we also have down below. So go ahead and do that and go get your 25% off, guys. It's amazing.
And when you go in, make sure you tell them you heard from us from the 5 Minute Major podcast and that we sent you in. We would love to send them as many people as we can, guys.
Yep.
But that being said, let's jump into the interview with Tom Calhoun.
Hello, everyone. We are super excited to be here with a legend of St. Louis in the sporting world. He's been working in broadcasting, announcing, and media for just over 50 years across many, many entities, and 38 of those years are with your St. Louis Blues. He was an inductee of the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. He also hosts his own podcast called the St. Louis Blues Hockey Legends Podcast. He has a bunch of legends on to tell great stories and more. It is a pleasure to welcome to the 5 Minute Major podcast of St. Louis, Mr. Tom Calhoun. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
All's good, Mike and Josh. Good to be with you.
Good. Awesome. We are so happy to have you on and so happy to talk some Blues hockey and learn a little bit more about you.
Wait a minute. I didn't give you my announcer voice when I said hello there. I have to go down on the little bits, but no, I'm glad to be with you and happy to talk Blues playoff hockey too. That'd be great.
Yeah. Man, have we been waiting for the playoffs to come back to St. Louis. It is an atmosphere that you cannot beat, and I am super excited to be in attendance that first home game when they come back.
Yeah,
you know, of course we had all that fun back in 2019, and I actually said to myself after we went through all that, I said, I wonder if I'm going to get to do this again, you know, put the cup over my head and be involved with the celebration like we were then. And, you know, 6 years have gone past since then. And so I was beginning to wonder if I'd hang in there long enough to see another playoff run. But the way the guys are playing now, they might do some damage.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit deeper, but it's been one heck of a ride the past couple months. And obviously, as hosts of a podcast and just Blues fans, like, it's the greatest feeling to be able to experience the atmosphere again. I know St. Louis is going to be rocking. So my first question to you is kind of to dive a little bit deep into your childhood. Tell us about where you're from, you know, how was it growing up across the river and in Belleville, and about your passion for sports and how it kind of blossomed when you were a kid.
Okay, well, I was born and raised in Belleville. And later in life, after I was married for a while, we moved to the Millstadt, Illinois area, which is a little south of Belleville. You guys know the geography, I'm sure. But we've raised our kids here. You know, we have two adult sons now. I went to the Belleville Public Schools, 2 years at Belleville Area College. This is the economy route to a higher education I'm talking about here. So then went to SIU Edwardsville once I decided I wanted to pursue the exciting field of radio broadcasting. And I wanted to my goal originally was to do baseball play-by-play at the highest level I could achieve. And I did that, some basketball, some football at WIBV Radio in Belleville. When I graduated from SIU Edwardsville, I spent several years there learning the craft and finding out how to work a microphone. And then bounced around from KMOX to KTRS to KXOK and WIL for a little while, a bunch of stations in St. Louis, which essentially means I couldn't hold a job. But while I was at KXOK, we had the Blues contract in those days back in the 80s and got to know the Blues people a little bit and worked with Dan Kelly and Ron Jacober at KXOK and They introduced me as someone who they thought could do the PA announcing for Blues hockey games when they needed somebody. Charlie Hodges, who was doing it, took a job with Anheuser-Busch, and he had to quit. So met with Susie Matthew, and I've told this before. I went in to talk to Susie and really wasn't that enthusiastic about a public address announcing job because I had other goals at the time. You know, I wanted to pursue the play-by-play on the radio idea and wherever that would take me. And I really agreed to do the PA announcing for the Blues as a favor to Susie for the rest of the 86-87 season. And at the end of the season, she asked me to come back for the following year, and I thought about it a couple of days and went back in and told her, no, I don't think I want to continue doing it because, you know, they were practically paying nothing in those days for their PA announcer, and I wanted to spend time with the kids and with my wife and do other things. And she said, well, is it all about the money? I said, well, that's a pretty big part of it, Susie. And she said, well, here, and this is the key to my still working for the Blues to this day. The next thing she said was, Tom, we will make it worth your while. And so they did. And all the five ownerships since then have continued to make it worth my while. So 1,730 games later, here I am still the PA guy for the Blues. So
wow, that's wild.
Yeah, and that's in a row, correct? You haven't taken a day off for any of those games. 1,730.
That's right, Mike. That's the if I ever have a claim to fame, I think that'll be it. The Iron Man streak.
I don't think many can probably compete with you on that Iron Man streak. That's awesome. And I think for us, we've heard you talk about a lot of your heroes growing up, of like Stan the Man Musial and Jack Buck, and just the different individuals you've been able to work alongside these past, like, these years. Who has kind of been the most influential in helping you kind of get here, and who you've looked at as like a role model and support for you along the way?
Well, if I had to pick one, I would say it was Ron Jacober. Ron is retired now. He's still involved with civic groups and such around town. And he, when I needed a job back in the 80s, I was working at WIL playing country music. And, you know, I guess I was doing okay at that, but that wasn't really what I wanted to do. And when they needed a sports announcer / producer at KXOK back in the 80s, Ron hired me for that. Ron helped me get the job with the Blues doing the PA, as I mentioned before. And there's been a few other things that he's done for me along the way, not only helping me with the craft, but also opening a door or two for me after those times. And I think he had a lot to do with me being inducted into the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame as well, because he was one of the founders of the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. So so I think Ron, I would have to give a lot of credit for me being who I am and me being as high. I'm not a high profile guy, but whatever profile I do have, he's helped create that for me.
That's incredible. I mean, it shows the tight-knit group of St. Louis.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Everyone kind of sticks by each other's side, especially in a world of media like this. And, you know, that's great to hear.
Along the way, most people who achieve anything will tell you that at some point there was somebody in their lives who identified a quality in you that you didn't even realize you had, or they would say, you know, you're better than what you think you are, and you can achieve more than what you think you can. And I think Ron was that guy for me. Although I've worked with, you know, Ron, with Bob Costas and, you know, Jack Buck, like you mentioned, Josh, and some of the big names in this business, you know, Ron was more of a mentor for me.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I think that's the cool part, that I think these opportunities we get in like working in media, and you get to meet so many different people, and along the way, it does take that person that helps really just be like, you can do this. And that's all a lot of us are just needing to kind of give us that first step in that open door. And that's the cool part about St. Louis, I really think, and the community we have here.
Well, we have the kind of people in this area, in this part of the country, I think, that genuinely care about one another. And, you know, the media business is no different.
Can you tell us a little bit about how it was being inducted into the Sports Hall of Fame? Like, I read up on your little bio on the website there, and it was kind of astonishing to see all the statistics, if you want to call them, of your career. And, you know, it's just a big part of St. Louis is your voice. And I want to know how it felt being recognized for that.
Well, it felt great. It was, you know, when Greg Marasek, who has now passed away, rest in peace, Greg, called me to tell me that I was going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, I just really couldn't believe it. I thought, what in the world did I do to deserve this, you know? And I think it happening right after the Stanley Cup run in 2019 had a little bit of play in it as well. But how I felt was incredibly humbled and honored to be recognized that way. My family and friends were all at the induction when I was inducted into the hall, and luckily some really good friends of mine who are also big Blues fans were friends with Layla Anderson and her dad, and okay, talked her into coming to my induction that night, and I brought Layla up on stage to give a report on how well she was doing after her bone marrow transplant back then. And so it was, you know, a wonderful night. And, you know, obviously it takes up a wall in my man cave here at the house, you know, the award plaque and some of the photos from that night. So, I couldn't expect that, but I am certainly grateful that it did happen.
I mean, Tom, I think that's just you bringing Layla up there is just a testament to the quality and the character of who you are. And I think it's a well-deserved award. And I mean, from us, like growing up, you are the voice that we have heard at every Blues game since we were old enough to get to a game. And it's been a cool thing for us. And like for us, this moment is awesome because We have gone to so many games over the years, and Mike and I, it's been a childhood thing since we've grown up together here in St. Louis, that getting to go to the Blues games together, getting to watch the games, like, and you being here with us is just such a cool thing for us. And I just can't say thank you enough, because it's...
Calm down, Josh. Calm down.
I know. I'm excited.
He's losing it.
I'm losing it. But it's just cool, because that story of you going into the Hall of Fame is awesome, and you bringing Layla up there is even cooler for me. As I work at Barnes, and I've worked in oncology, and I think the power of the Blues community and how much they do support, and especially with Kelly Chase going through his battle right now, it's awesome, and it's really a testament to who you are, and I can't thank you enough for everything you've done so far in St. Louis, and hopefully another Stanley Cup run if we can get going here.
I'd really enjoy that if we could pull it off. Yeah. Well, thanks for those kind words, Josh. You know,
yeah, of course.
I think you were blushing there a little bit, though. So.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's one of those that as this podcast has grown, we've gotten to see and talk to a lot of cool people, and it's been, I think, for us, just a really cool experience. And I think, kind of from my perspective, what has been some of the coolest experiences you've had as the PA announcer for the Blues, like what memories will forever be your top memories that you've had with the team?
Well, they tend to be things that were kind of unplanned at the games that happened that you think, wow, that was an amazing thing that just happened. I've told the story a number of times on other podcasts and in public about the Here Comes Cheveldé night in 1993, the fight between Curtis Joseph and Tim Cheveldé. Everybody's seen it on YouTube and know how it goes. But my little part of that was that Bob Probert of the Red Wings was the first guy put in the penalty box that night. after they started sorting things out on the ice, you know, he got put in the penalty box. And long story short, a couple of guys behind the glass in the penalty box were yelling at him and calling him everything but a nice guy. And so he decided to go up over the glass and try to get at these guys. Well, there was nobody else in the press in the penalty box but me. And so for whatever reason, I reached up and grabbed him by the trunks and tried to pull him back into the penalty box. This is the toughest guy in the NHL, reputation-wise. And what am I thinking? You know, I grabbed him by the trunks, and he looks down at me and says, "You don't want to do that." I said, "You're right, Proby. No way. I don't want to do that." So he eventually sat back down, and after I announced all the penalties, after all that stuff calmed down, he was sitting right next to me, and he tapped me on the shoulder and said, "What the F were you thinking?" So I said, "I don't know, Proby." I said, I guess I thought I was part of security or something for a minute there.
That's awesome.
But yeah, that's one of the stories I like to tell. The other one is Jamal Mayers was put in the penalty box one time, and I announced penalty to number 21, Jamal Mayers. He was kind of new on the team at the time, and I wasn't all that familiar with him. It just so happened that the guy that was put in the visiting penalty box was also number 21. And so I looked at the wrong roster, and I said, "Number 21, Jamal Mayers." And he's sitting right next to me, tapped me on the shoulder, says, "Hey, I'm already in here. What are you talking about?" So that's another one. And, you know, there's a lot of little flubs like that that I can recall. But I guess the biggest moment of them all was when I introduced Wayne Gretzky the first night that he played for the Blues. And that, as I've told people before, that's about the only time I remember being really nervous before I did the player introductions. Because, you know, I knew national TV was there and everybody in the world was watching the intros for Wayne Gretzky's first night with the St. Louis Blues. And if I'd have botched that one up, you know, I would have never lived it down. I might have gotten fired on the spot. Who knows? But thankfully it went well. Although I will tell you this, I've got a recording of those announcements on an old cassette tape. That's what we had back in those days. If I played it for you, you would hear my voice go, "And starting at center for the Blues, number 99, Wayne Gretzky." You know, my voice is quavering because I was so excited, just like everybody else was. Yeah. And probably one of the worst announcements I've ever made of anybody, and it's for the great one. So there you go. I embarrassed myself for you guys.
Hey, you know.
Thanks.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, don't put it out there. Don't broadcast it or anything. Huh? No.
You know, that's just the aura of Wayne Gretzky. You know, what do you have any other players that have come through besides him? I guess Holy's probably another name where you're thinking to yourself, wow, every time I mention this guy's name, like, he's going to be in so many record books. Like, the history of the NHL is never going to forget this guy. And I've called his name so many times and he's played in my city. Like, is there anyone else that you really cherished announcing?
Well, sure. I mean, there's been a lot of them, but for one thing, Brett Hull, you know, I announced every goal he ever scored wearing a Blues uniform. So there is that. And if you guys know how to get a hold of him to get him on my podcast, I'd appreciate the help. Cause yeah. I keep texting him and calling him and emailing him and everything else. And I saw him at the recent Hall of Fame banquet. I said, "Holly, you need to come on my Legends podcast." I said, "What good is a Legends podcast if I can't have the Blues legend on the podcast?" You know, and he said, "I don't have a laptop in Cabo." He's spending most of his time in Cabo San Lucas these days. I said, "Well, you don't need a laptop. All you need is a cell phone or, you know, something connected to the internet." He goes, "Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's fine. I can do it then." Well, he's been radio silent ever since then. I don't know. I'll get him eventually, but I might need some help. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, there's been a lot of great names that I've enjoyed announcing. Vladimir Tarasenko, for one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Pavel Dimitra. Favorites. And, of course,
yep.
You know, I had Keith Kachuk on my podcast early on back in 2024. And Keith Kachuk, you know, I talked to him before I ever did that. And he kind of gave me permission to have fun with his name. So I did. And there's a lot of other ones have been a lot of fun to announce over the years, but those are three that stand out, I think.
Yeah, that I have to say, that's got some good company. You've been able to call some pretty amazing goals for. The other thing I would say, with so many different names nowadays, like, how do you prep for some of these games with some of these players that come through? Like, there's some names that even when we're talking different teams around the league that we just butcher these names, and somehow you are able to just figure it out without an issue. Do you touch base with these players before the game, or how do you kind of go about it?
Well, you know, I teach, one of the classes that I teach at Southwestern Illinois College is radio and podcast production. And I tell the students in that course, I said, if you botch up somebody's name, either on the air or in a public address situation, that is the biggest disrespect you can give to that person and their family and friends. You know, their name is their most important possession. So, you know, it's on you to get it right. However, whatever effort it takes to get it right. And I believe that. And that's something I've always lived by. And fortunately, the NHL understands that they have a lot of wild names going on in the sport these days, Eastern Europeans and Russians and, you know, people from everywhere. So they have a pronunciation guide that we can access on the NHL media site, which provides some help. It's not always accurate, though, I found. So you have to double check some of the names that you question. Mm-hmm. The second way is the public address announcers in the league, at least most of them, contribute to a site called paannouncerhelp.com. And the guy in Pittsburgh puts this together for all of us PA announcers. We all submit our own roster and pronunciations for all the names on that roster at the beginning of the season, and we update it as necessary. And he keeps that website up and going. That's the second way. But I think if you can get to the player themselves and talk to them, if you question how to pronounce their name, have them pronounce it for you, that's what you should do. Now, there's a caveat to that also, because a lot of the foreign players will pronounce their name like they pronounce it back home, mm-hmm. which sometimes doesn't work in North America. So a lot of times the broadcasters, Chris Kerber and John Kelly and I, will get together. How are you going to do this name? How are we going to do it so we're all on the same page? And a lot of times we have a quick meeting before games to hash that out. So, yeah, there's some homework involved to get it all right. I will also say that when I was a kid in grade school, I don't think they teach this anymore, but they did when I was in school, called phonics, how to piece together syllables and make them sound properly when you pronounce them. And so that, I think, was a basis for me to, you know, get into the communication field and go to where I've gone. So I thank the Belleville Public Schools for some of my early education to get this thing going. That's a long answer for a simple question, but
I think that that's really interesting because it shows the insides and outs of prep for games, and that's cool.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, you know, this time of year, there's usually a lot of guys who come into the league from their college teams. And so you have to be on your toes. If there's new guys on the roster sheet, you have to be able to do your Jimmy Snuggerudes, you know, the right way the first time out of the box. You know?
Yeah. I can't imagine the amount of people who are going to mess up Ziv Buyum's name. When he starts playing for the Wild. Yeah. I don't even know if I said it right.
So. Yeah, I just had him in the hockey, the Frozen Four. He played for in the Frozen Four, and I had him last year in the semifinals that were played out at Centene. So I've seen him a couple of times. So I kind of knew the deal with him going in.
Yeah.
Yeah, how did you like the college championships here, the Frozen Four? It had to be a fun experience, and it was some fantastic hockey.
Oh, yeah.
What was kind of your favorite part about all that?
Well, the production itself, you know, the NCAA does a nice job. They have good people in place to put on a good show. Obviously, the Enterprise Center production team was involved with it as well, people that I'm familiar with. So, you know, all of the behind the scenes stuff I thought was well handled and well thought out. The games themselves were just top notch college hockey. I mean, you couldn't ask for much more than what we got. Western Michigan's fans really made the whole building electric for that championship game. They traveled really well, man. They yeah, packed they the place and, was almost like a Western Michigan home game. There was so many of their fans in the stands here. Wonderful memories. I did the Frozen Four back in 07 when it was here. Michigan State won it that year with Justin Abdelkader. There's one of your names. Leading the way for them. Ben Bishop was here with Maine, and Jaden Schwartz was here with Denver that time. So That was a lot of fun. And I think, you know, it's going to be fun to look back on this Frozen Four here in 2025 and see who the stars are that come out of these teams in the National Hockey League over the next 4 or 5 years. And you'll be able to say, I was there the night that so-and-so scored two goals. You know, that kid, that Owen Michaels kid for Western Michigan, he's not drafted by anybody yet. So I'm sure he raised a lot of eyebrows during that Frozen Four.
For sure. He got a big bump, I'm sure. He's going to be hearing from some people soon.
No question. I'm sure he's got
I think
working the phones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think he actually mentioned that he's not even a senior yet, so he might go back and keep competing with. Yeah, so, wow, he's possibly two more years to go back to back. I mean, it's hard to do, but
well, with what he did and the kind of talent that he showed, you know, he'll get signed as a free agent or something here pretty soon, I would expect, and maybe play another year at Western Michigan and then turn pro.
Yeah. You know, speaking of these young talents, and you mentioned him, Jimmy Snuggerud, what a player he's been. You know, I don't know if you mind shifting into kind of this year's playoff run, but I would love to start talking about how his contributions have really filled in nicely with Holloway during the injury and you know, on top of him, Zach Bolduc. You know, it's kind of an interesting dynamic with this team. You know, the streak and the playing Winnipeg in the first round, it kind of brings back memories, but it's a completely different type of team with kind of like the same goaltender and maybe a couple core players.
Right.
So, I mean, have you felt in the last month? It's been insane as fans. Yeah.
Well, it's not only been fun to watch, but it's fun to think about the future of this team.
Right.
Because they have those young kids, the Holloways, the Brobergs, the Snuggerud. Dvorsky hasn't even broken in much to playing time yet, and they think a lot of him. There's a couple other kids down at Springfield that I know they like too. So the future looks pretty darn bright. But the other side of that is the Western Conference and the NHL. There's a lot of teams whose future looks pretty bright right now. So they're not the only ones. But yeah, it's been a great amount of fun working the games and seeing the kind of hockey that's being played. And Jim Montgomery, and I'm sure you've realized this by now, is just a wonderful communicator and can not only think the game of hockey, but he can communicate the game of hockey to his players. They know he's a former player with the Blues back in the 90s for a short time, and So he's got that cash going as well, and he's spending it well. So, you know, he's in place for several more years. Of course, with coaches, you never know how that's going to work out. But, you know, that's a masterstroke, in my opinion, by Doug Armstrong. I remember when Monty got let go in Boston, I was sitting after a game that we lost back right before we hired him. I was talking to Trevor Nickerson, who, you know, is the VP of Blue Note Productions and works in the same space that I do for the games. And I looked at him and he looked at me and I said, I wonder if Army's on the phone to Jim Montgomery about now. And, you know, nothing against Drew Bannister or anything. Mm-hmm. I thought he was an okay guy and, you know, I'm sure an excellent coach. But when somebody like that becomes available and you're really sold on the fact that he's going to be a great coach for your team, you know, it had to be done, and Army did it. So good for him.
Yeah, I think watching us sign him, like, and even the players' responses you saw almost immediately, they all knew what they were getting. And I think that allowed this team to just grow. And then he had the time to really develop. And we saw this with Zach Boldu. He really has helped Zach Boldu turn into a really great blossoming hockey player. And I think that's been cool.
He's figured out what he's really good at and put him in a position to succeed. You know, playing that bumper position in the power play. I mean, how many times has he gotten the puck on his stick and the next half second it's in the net behind the goalie? I mean, not many people can shoot the puck like that. And, you know, Monty figured out, you know, that's where he needs to be on our power play. And I'm sure it won't be too long where Jimmy Snuggerud's ripping in goals from the OV spot on the left circle, too. So that's... You know, that's a great thing to look forward to for Blues fans for a long time to come.
Yeah, and they've kind of shown that blue-collar style. I mean, we kind of got back to team hockey, you know, and it's not really a one-man show and never has been really in St. Louis, maybe for really short periods of time, but Monty came in and he understands kind of what the fans like. He understands what the management's doing. I mean, he's, like you said, he communicates so well. Have you been around the team enough to kind of feel that energy, kind of feel almost like the family energy that they've been putting out?
I wish I could say yes, but, yeah. You know, since COVID, I was relocated from ice level up to the press box to do my announcing. And in the first 30 or so years that I did PA announcing, I would not only see players in the penalty box and occasionally chit-chat with them, but I would also a lot of times go back to the locker room after the game because, you know, I had radio work to do too, and I would carry a microphone and get some interviews and things after the game. So in those days, I got to know players fairly well and, you know, actually would go out after the game and have a brewski with one once in a while, but Dave Lowry, I'm talking to you wherever you are, but it's really difficult for me now working up in the press box to be able to say that I know the players all that well. You know, they would probably not like it too much if I went back to the locker room and started wandering around and talking to guys. I think I could probably pull that off, but people would say, what's the PA guy doing in here anyway? I wish I had a closer relationship to players and coaches these days, but it kind of went away with the old virus back in 2020.
Yeah, and that's a little disappointing, yeah. But it's understood, I guess, you know. Josh, do you have anything? I don't think questions.
I this has been great. I think the last thing for me is, out of all the guests you've had on your podcast, who has been some of your favorite ones to have on and talk with since you've kind of been doing your own show as well?
Well, not a player, but she was a big, as big a part of blues history as anybody else, and that was Susie Matthews. She is the person that hired me for the job as PA announcer. She had some just outstanding stories to tell, and was so open with those stories. You know, I didn't have to prompt her much. She went to the stories that she thought would people would be interested in, and she just did a great job. In fact, like you guys, I try to limit usually a podcast to 35 or so minutes, and because people lose interest after a while, and that's just the way these things are. I did a full hour and 10 minutes with Susie, and I divided it up into two sections because there was that much good stuff, and released two separate episodes with her. I guess the other was Mike Liute. Mike was just great, and he opened up a lot too on being Jordan Bennington's agent and some of the things that they've gone through together, and he was really good. Of course, my very first guest was Kelly Chase, and we all know what a great storyteller Chaser is. And you know, he doesn't hold anything back. When he's got something to say, he says it, and he did on my podcast. So I saw him in the press box the other night, you know, and I think he's turning the corner a little bit with his health battle, and we're all praying for that he gets back to somewhere close to 100% again, and can be the old Kelly Chase that we know and love, and isn't bothered with pain and you know, battling leukemia forever.
And he's a fighter, and will always be one. And I think that's the St. Louis community will continue to rally behind him, just like we do with everything with the Blues. And we are sending all those thoughts and prayers to Kelly in a speedy recovery. And we love him to death, and we love that that storytelling. I think that's always been the fun aspect of him, because I've gotten to meet him a couple times outside at like training camps in years past, and he's a man of the people, and I think that's always been the fun thing. And that's a lot of Blues players, I think, that come back to St. Louis really.
Yeah, you know, I've had several. I've had a couple, three Western Canada guys, Saskatchewan guys, on my podcast, and they all have that down to earth, every man kind of quality about them that makes it so fun to talk to them. And you know, I'm talking about Red Berenson and Gary Unger and of course Chaser, and hopefully I'm going to get Tony Twist on here on my next podcast. I'm supposed to talk with him after we're done here tonight and see if we can get that lined up.
Perfect.
But I'm sure he'll have a few tall tales to tell as well. So looking forward to that.
I have no doubt.
That's your original point. Yeah, we're all pulling for Chaser and wish him all the best.
Yes, well said.
But well, thank you again so much for coming on with us. Yeah. We appreciate you, and we will hopefully see a good long run in the playoffs. And I'm super excited.
Yeah, I am too. And you know, the Winnipeg Jets are no easy task. Of course, they've had the best record, and they're the President's Trophy winners in the league this year. So, you know, it's they've got a tough they got a tough row to hoe. The Blues do, but I think they're up for it. You know, it'll be a good series. I'm sure of that.
For sure. Yep.
For sure. All right, Tom. We'll keep in touch, I'm sure, and enjoy the rest of your night. And let's go Blues, sir.
Let's go Blues, sir.
All right, guys. What an interview.
So much fun.
Tom is a genuine person, super nice guy. He joked with us like we were his buddies. He told great stories. That's all we want from a guest. And he's a legend, man. St. Louis Sports Hall of Famer. His voice is just childhood for Josh and I. I'm pretty sure Josh mentioned it in the interview. So
I geeked out a little bit. He gave me some trouble for it. Yeah, I'll take it.
That was awesome. We'll be sure to link his podcast below as well.
Yes.
I think he just has a straight up like Tom Calhoun website that I'll link. And then, he's had some good guests on his podcast. So go check that out. I think he mentioned Keith Tkachuk is next, which is a huge one. He's a great storyteller. And,
He's had Keith Tkachuk. He's had
Mike Liudi said, yeah, Red Berenson, yeah.
Listen to his podcast. He has a lot of great stories that are shared.
So. Yeah, yeah.
But let's jump into the playoff matchups real quick. We'll do our predictions. We'll give you a quick little rundown, and then we'll finish it up with the Blues versus Jets matchup with some hot takes on that. But
okay,
let's start in the East, Mikey.
All right, yeah. So the Leafs, I read somewhere this is their first ever Atlantic Division title.
Really?
I don't know. It was a verified Twitter page, I'm pretty sure. No wonder they've been playing Boston so much. Like, yeah. So Leafs are one seed. Good for them. Maybe. They're going up against a hot Ottawa Senators team who pretty much took the reins of the wild card one spot like in the last month. Good for them. This is going to be a heavy battle.
Yeah.
Nyes is going to have to step up big time to stop Brady. It's Berube. Is he going to have to kind of, I don't know how his coaching style might have to adapt a little bit to that Blues 2019, just lay the body style, but he doesn't have the players.
I was going to say Toronto cannot be that style of game.
I know. They're going to have to play their own game and hope that the Senators just feed into it. Genuine.
Also, you need Mitch Marner to stay consistent through the playoffs.
Agree.
He has been a guy that likes to fade away in the playoffs sometime. I think you need everything and more from him in the series. And yeah, then Nylander, just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
That, like, seriously. It's underrated crazy when the two guys we're talking about are Marner and Nylander. You still have Tavares. You still have Matthews. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to be good. They went out and got some good depth.
Yeah.
And Brandon, they got Brandon Carlo too.
Carlo,
they got
Tanev. Who else did they have back then? They got some solid big boys.
Yeah.
And honestly, their goalie tandem's been pretty solid this year. Now, Wohl is still kind of meh for me, but Stolarz.
They're going to ride Stolarz until the wheels roll off, in my opinion.
You have to.
Yeah.
It's Justin Wohl. The boss at my old job, Josh, he knows the Wolf family a little bit because of his son. This is a funny story. He was like, if Wolf's in there for game 7, just put the house on the other team. So that's what he said.
Dang, that's brutal.
So there's a little bit of like a for me for Wohl in kind of big pressure situations, but Stolarz has proven himself. He backed up in Florida. He's played big games. So
yeah.
I don't know how it's going to go. I have the Sens in 7 personally because I love the chaos and Toronto fans losing yet again in the first round.
Yeah, you have the Sens in 7. I have the Leafs in 6.
And yeah.
Swain has the Sens in 7 as well.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to bet against Berube, but I think the goalie shifts to Ottawa.
I agree. Think
Allmark's a stud.
Totally agree.
And I agree with you when you said he could steal one or two games in the series for them.
Yeah, if they need it, he'll show up. On the other end, like I said, Stolarz, he's 9-0 in his last 9 starts.
Yeah.
So he's hot right now.
Yeah.
Could be huge for them if they have any lapses. You know, I don't think the defense would be a lapse or like making too many mistakes. I think the forwards playing defense for Toronto could be a little bit of a mess situation, especially with the top guys outside of Matthews. Matthews is a great two-way player, by the way.
We will see. It's going to be a fun matchup.
Battling
Canada. That's a good first round matchup.
Yeah, they haven't had the Battle of Ontario since like the 90s.
Yeah.
So this is a big one for Canada, and it's only a bus ride away for these guys. So it's rivalry central up there. I'm sure it'll be chaos.
Quick little run through. We got the Capitals versus the Canadiens. Ovi's in the playoffs. What can you say more than that? The big thing is, can Montembeau hold strong? I mean,
yeah.
I am interested to see how this series goes. It is one of those teams that, yes, the Capitals had a heck of a season. But do they go into the playoffs and get bounced in like the first round? I could see that happening.
I mean,
but the Canadiens are also, there's question marks there. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I think the Capitals they're kind of limping in.
Yeah.
I think the Ovi, once Ovi got the goal record, they're like, oh, thank God. Like, we're in the playoffs. Obi got the record. Let's just kind of get the season over with, and now we can go dominate the playoffs. So I hope that's the mentality. Great coach, great everything in DC, as you know. Does Obi like take over games? The last playoff he was in last year, he was nowhere to be found.
Yeah, I think yes.
I think the Montreal defense is a little soft. They have some great superstar talent on the forward end, though, with Caulfield and Suzuki, who's been unreal. And now they have Demidov over, and
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, our predictions we had for this one, Swain had the Caps in game five. I also have the Caps in five, and you have the Caps in six. So I think we're all still picking the Caps, but we shall see. I think the Caps are a better team overall than the Habs, but time will tell.
Yeah. All right, next one is the Hurricanes and the Devils. This is going to be blowout. I think this might be the only sweep of the first round. I gave the Devils a game, I'm pretty sure, in my prediction.
I also did as well.
So Devils have been dealing with injuries. Jack Hughes is out. Brutal.
Yep.
Goalies have been okay. Markstrom hurt, comes back. He's okay. Jake Allen, you never know. He's been unreal this year. Low-key, could fill in and steal a game. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I agree.
The only thing with the Hurricanes is their goaltending's always been what it is, which is questionable. Freddie Anderson is always injured. And is it Kochekov? Something like that, Peter? He's kind of stolen the reins as number one goalie. So we'll see if he can kind of hold it together throughout the second round.
I think that's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, I think this first round, it's easily the Hurricanes. This is probably going to be the one series where the NHL faithful fans are probably picking 70-30 Carolina.
Yeah. They got Jacob Slavin on the back end, though. You can make up
Brent Burns.
Yeah, you got experience on the back end that can shut down games for you and that. And I love Rob Brind'Amour. So
yeah, I like him too, more as a player than as a coach, but he lives and dies for his team. So
yeah. So this predictions we have on this one, Swain has the Hurricanes in four, you have them in five, and I also have them in five as well.
So, yeah, Jersey steals one at home.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I think Markstrom starts first game, they get destroyed.
I think he and does then the first Allen two. Comes in. Yeah, Allen's going to play in this one way or another.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. And the big one for me, this is going to be huge. The best series of the East. Yes. For sure. A little bit ahead of the Canadian series. So, Battle of Florida yet again. Panthers, Lightning. Both teams are cup contenders. There's no denying it. Both teams play heavy games. No denying it. Both teams have great Russian goaltenders. No denying it. Who has the edge? Gosh, I don't know.
So Paul Maurice saying everyone will be back for game one.
That's huge for the Panthers.
The Panthers were like, cool. We have enough room that it doesn't really matter what we do down the stretch.
Yep.
We're going to sit everyone.
Yep.
So everyone is about to come back healthy, rested, and ready to go.
Yeah.
So that right there, and the addition of Brad Marchand, I want the Panthers to win this. I think the Panthers will win this. That's my take.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to, though, what does Bob have left in the tank?
Yeah, he's getting up there in age, which is crazy to think about, but he's playing some of his best hockey the past few seasons. So he can steal a game for Florida. He won't have to. That team plays their hearts out every game.
Yeah.
Top to bottom. Great team. And so does Tampa, though. I think no one's talking about the Lightning. I think they understand that they're good. They don't understand how good. Hedman, Beast, Gensel, best addition to the offseason for any team, pretty much. Point, sneaky. Sneaky great player. And then you have Kucherov, who's MVP of the season. So
121 points, I think, this year.
Just not a big deal. Again, unreal. And then sneaky player Ryan McDonagh. No one talks about McDonagh.
No, I love Ryan McDonagh.
Such a beauty.
underappreciated player in the league. Like, yeah. Does so much. And, like, shout out Ryan McDonagh.
Yeah. So, we'll see. I know I have Lightning in 7.
You have Lightning in 7. I have Panthers in 7. And Swain has Panthers in 5.
Wow. So, she says they're coming out hot.
Yeah. For the girl that despises Matthew Tkachuk, it's hilarious.
She doesn't like Matt.
No.
Everyone should love Matthew
Tkachuk. I love Matthew Tkachuk. The Tkachuks are forever and always. But
yeah.
I told her it's blasphemy. You can't speak that in St. Louis.
Yeah, it's going to be a great series. People are probably going to get injured.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to come down to who's the better goalie. I think Vasilevsky will be. So we'll see. All right, on to the West, dude.
The West.
Gauntlet series. All of them.
All right. So the first matchup we're talking, the Golden Knights taking on the Minnesota Wild.
Yep.
Vegas is Vegas, man. It's stupid. Like, yeah. That being able to add Jack Eichel is unfair.
Yeah, I mean, like, they had to give up some, but best player
like,
on the
even
team
what you
far.
Gave up for him, like, all I'm right, sorry. Tuck is good, but it's Jack Eichel. He takes over games for you.
Yeah.
Year. I despise Vegas with all of my being. Like, I cannot stand Mark Stone.
Yeah.
So it has ruined all of Vegas for me. Also, I think they should have had to struggle a little bit more coming into the league. But tomato, tomato, I do have them winning in this first round. I think the Knights win in 5 just because Minnesota, yes, they got Kaprizov and Joel Eriksson Ek. But man, did they have a terrible stretch down the end. They were playing average hockey.
Yeah, they were. And honestly, it's impressive that they stayed where they are in the standings.
Yeah.
I don't hate the Wild.
No.
I mean, I do.
Yeah.
But I don't hate the way they're built. Like, Booyam coming in as a young stud could, like, back a power play. You never know. He might be kind of that Cale Makar to the Wild where he comes in and dominates.
Yeah.
Kaprizov and Eriksson Ekblad is so big. And their goaltending has been so sneaky good with Gustafsson and Fleury. And this is Fleury's last hurrah. You never know. The Wild might pull something crazy out of their butts. But I agree with you. Vegas is just, I think they're the, well, I mean, I probably am contradicting myself, but they're probably the best team in the West. They're so deep.
No, I will not. They're not the best team.
They're up there. The only thing they're lacking is goaltending, in my opinion, and that's where I think this can go to 6.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I picked Vegas in 6.
Let's see. Yep, you have Vegas in 6. I have them in 5. Swain has them in 7.
Wow, okay. So she's got a long series. We'll see. It's going to come down to star power, and I think that's where Vegas might have a little bit of an edge just based on Jack Eichel's season. He's been so good.
Yep.
And Petro. Barbashev. Saad. They're all playing in meaningful playoff games.
I want Barbashev back. Come on home, buddy.
We got Bolduc now.
We do have Bolduc, but...
he's the same.
Yeah.
He's the exact same.
He is the same. He's got a better wrist shot, though.
It's true. Okay, next one, we just mentioned it.
Kings Oilers,
baby. This is going 7.
Yeah.
I don't see how it's not, in my opinion. We mentioned it above, Oilers are hurt, but they have McDavid and Draisaitl. Kings are not. They don't really have, like, a superstar. I mean, they have Kopi, they got Kempe, Doughty. But McDavid and Draisaitl.
You got a good
so.
Mix of young and old.
Agreed. And
better
I
goalie
think
situation there. Darcy.
100%.
Darcy.
Kemper is going to get. He's going to get Vezina votes this year. He was so good.
Kemper is hands down the better goalie. If I had to pick between Skinner and Kemper, I'm picking Skinner every day. And
Kemper's won
Sunday.
A Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Skinner is what's had
average.
Like, average.
Middle of the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I picked the Kings in 7. I love their defensive game. They play lockdown defense. And Byfield kind of started taking off again at the end of the year. He had a couple nasty goals. And then, of course, I'm pretty sure the Chiklis guys mentioned how great of a defensive forward Philip Deneau is, and he can possibly slow down the superstar power. We will see.
Yeah.
Kings in seven.
Yeah, you have Kings in seven. I have the Oilers in seven, and Swain has the Oilers in six.
Yeah.
So we shall see. But this next matchup, I think, will be the best matchup of the first round in the Western Conference. The Dallas Stars versus the Colorado Avalanche. Prediction-wise, I'll start off here for us real quick. Mike has the Avs winning in seven. I have the Stars winning in seven. Swain, just with the gut punch to the Avalanche fans, I have the Stars winning in four. I don't know about that. But I think this is going to be a heck of a game. I think it's a better goalie situation for Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's huge that they got Sagan back. It is going to come down to what is the injury picture looking like for some of these players.
Yep.
But it's going to be a physical series. So, hard fought. It's going to be very big specialty teams kind of game. Who slips up, goes on to the penalty kill, will pay for it because both these teams have very good power plays.
I agree with you with everything you said. Stars are hurting. They're limping in. Like I said, seven losses in a row going into this.
Yeah.
Not good. Avalanche, they're kind of on the up. So they've been playing all right. I think they're finally starting to click as a unit with all those new faces. Their goaltending has actually been pretty good.
Yeah.
My issue is who's running with it? Which goalie is going to take the number one spot in this playoffs? It has to be somebody. You can't go into the conference finals flip-flopping a goalie every game. It just doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
Momentum is a thing in this league. I have the Avalanche in seven strictly because Cale Makar is not from this world. And Nathan MacKinnon is a bowling ball, and he will get past everybody. It doesn't matter. Andre's gonna make this go seven, for sure.
Yeah. We'll see how Mikko Rantanen is. This is like the
interesting.
This is the avenge, like some vengeance is gonna be in this game. So
yeah, we'll see if it gets a little chippy.
I think it's gonna be a very chippy, very grinded out kind of series.
100%. Yeah, and that's crazy. I feel like the Avalanche, when they won their cup, they didn't have any competition. Like, it was just us. Took them to seven. They swept like everybody else.
Yeah, and if you wouldn't have hurt Bennington, we would have beat you guys.
I agree.
Kadri, haha. Enjoy the golf course, sucker.
Yeah, it's great to know he missed the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a good day when Nazem Kadri misses the playoffs. Not that I'm biased or anything, but scum.
He is scummy. All right, you have Stars in what, seven?
Yeah, I have Stars in seven.
All right, Avs in seven for me, and then Swain has the sweep. Okay, and finally, it is your St. Louis Blues up against the Winnipeg Jets. We're in. We did it on the last game of the year, and we did dominate Utah, so I can't be too upset with the momentum kind of we're going in. Let me run through kind of the bullet points here. Bennington versus Hellebuck Rondeau. The last time they faced each other, we won the series because Bennington was not from this world. Another big part of the Blues' success has been the rookies, and they really have to step up now.
Mm-hmm.
Bolduke, Snuggy, I'll even throw Tucker and Hofer in there.
Yeah.
You guys have to be consistent and play some really good hockey against this team because Winnipeg has a huge defense. They're massive human beings, and they keep you to the outside, as we saw the last time we played them. They just controlled every facet of every zone and made us look silly. We have to be able to put more pressure on Hellebuck, you know? And if we need to get through the defense, that's step one, right?
Yeah.
Kind of some bad news for the Jets. Ehlers is out. That's kind of stinky for them. I don't think they're that deep of a team.
No, they run with their top six and then
agreed.
They pray for the rest of it to fall into place.
Yeah, and you know, we're not taking anything from Lowry or Perfetti, you know what I mean? But
could be a huge series where if the Blues can play their game and roll four lines deep, it's going to be hard for the Jets to keep up because you're going to just be playing your top line continuously.
I think so too. And you know, we're going to have a little pressure on our top guys too. Thomas is going to have to stop a Connor and a Shifley. Same with Pareko and Fowler are going to be out there a lot against those guys. So shift, like clean shifts and changes over the boards are going to be huge in this series, being able to put our top guys against their top guys. And I mean, I don't know.
It's going to come down to,
I have the Blues in seven.
I have the Blues in seven as well, but truthfully here, it's going to come down to what we hear about Dylan Holloway.
I don't think he's going to play the rest of the year.
You think he's done?
I think he's done.
But there was the rumor he was skating.
Skating? Well, so was Pareko like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's true.
And if it's the same type of thing, he's going to have another 4 weeks. So we better keep winning.
Yeah, we shall see. They sent Dvorsky down today. He is returning to Springfield to play in the playoffs with the Thunderbirds.
Good stuff.
But I kind of did the breakdown of the top players for the Blues. I'll start with the Jets players here first, though.
Okay.
Biggest question every year, Connor Hellebuyck. He played 62 games this year. He has 47 wins. He's a 2.00 goals against in a 925 save percentage. Unreal numbers.
He should win the MVP, in my opinion.
I agree. But can he continue this in the playoffs? This is always the question.
Is he going to get gassed?
Which is where I get extremely frustrated that Winnipeg did not think to just let him rest. But I think he's also a freak of nature human.
Well, they had a little bit of a chip to get the President's Trophy, you know? Technically, they were battling with the Caps to get it, and I don't know, man. He's so good. But, like I said, pepper him.
And
he might let some squeaky ones in, so.
Yeah. The Blues killer, though, Kyle Connor, finished the season with 41 goals, 56 assists, and 97 points. He's a stud. I love him. I think I called for him to be the most goals scored by a player in the beginning of the year, which
I think
he lost
to
Draisaitl. Or did you get him?
I said Connor to get the most goals this year.
Yeah.
I mean, unreal season. For what it was.
Crazy part, like Four Nations, he was such a minor part of that team.
Yeah, that just goes to show about the superstar talent outside of the central teams. Like, you know, what, Matthews? Like, he's double the player, like, which is crazy to think about. All right. Go to the next guy.
Mark Scheifele finished the year 39 goals, 48 assists, 87 points. Very decent season for him.
What a season.
Good two-way forward, great in the dot, hard to play against, very fast.
Yeah.
Ehlers, 24 goals, 39 assists, 63 points. I mean, it's going to hurt, hard to replace. He was also a guy that I would like the Blues to have a run at. I think he would fit really well into our top nine. And then their best defenseman, in my opinion, is Josh Morrissey. He finished the season with 14 goals, 48 assists, and 62 points.
Yeah, it's a great little lineup there.
It's a good squad. It really
is. Never a doubt.
Yeah. So, statistically, I'll let Mike talk about the Blues here. I really think it's a push for Ehlers versus Holloway. Statistically, very similar numbers. Holloway's got the 26 goals, 37 assists.
Yep.
So 100%. I think right there, that may be a contributing factor. That's a push when you're both of those players are out for you guys.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I'm not too worried about Holloway being out, even though if he was in, I'd think we could win in like six.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
If Holloway was in, my goodness, I think we're talking a whole different conversation. And no offense to Matthew Joseph, we would be a better lineup without him in it.
Yeah, it's just the way it is.
Yeah,
I agree.
All right,
let's go through the Blues players. I'll start with Holloway. So Holloway had 26 goals, 37 assists, and 63 points before he got hurt. Unreal breakout season for a 23-year-old kid. He should be getting paid in a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Bushy, you know what? We really were hard on him earlier in the year because he was playing center for some reason. And he ended up with 20 goals, 37 assists, 57 points. That's pretty good for starting off brutal.
Yeah.
And he just turned 30, so happy birthday, Boosh. And I like Boosh. I've never hated Bushnevich. I just sometimes I think when he gets uncomfortable, he can kind of be a lax type of player. But he's been so good lately.
One of those guys you just want more from because you know he can do so much more than
and
what he
and
doing.
He did. He ended up and doing he that. He ended the year on like a pretty solid streak, I believe. So good for him. Big Colt, 16 goals, 20 assists, 36 points. Career year. If he doesn't get hurt, I think he scores 20.
I was gonna say I think he's got 20 goals if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah, just a brutal injury on a weird play, but he's back and he looks fine. So he'll be playing 25, 26 minutes against this Jets team.
He's looking at 30 assists and 20 goals.
Yeah, I think he would have gotten a couple Norris Trophy votes.
Yeah,
maybe one.
Rightfully
Makar
so. Yeah, yeah, Makar's
away
one
with
it,
right? But maybe one. All right, and then Jordan Kyrou, 36 goals, 34 assists, and 70 points. This is his third 70-point season, his fourth 30-goal season. Unreal.
Yeah.
He completely flipped the script this year. He is playing great two-way hockey. His plus-minus is unreal. One of the best on the team. And he didn't miss a single game, I don't think, this year. So, good for you, kid.
Also a guy we are very hard on through the season.
I mean, you have to when it's your star player and he's not contributing the way you believe he should. And he
Jim Montgomery,
ended up doing it.
Jim Montgomery, man, really helped, I think, recenter him and get him on the right path.
Yeah, I agree. I think Bannister just might not have been saying the right things. I think the mental in the locker room at the beginning of the year was like, we're just kind of playing, you know, like, we don't really know our motive. And then Monty came in and gave them a reason to play. Yep. So
I agree.
And then our guy, Robert Thomas, 21 goals, 60 assists, 81 points. Technically, he was well over a point per game this year.
Yes.
Stinks he got injured too. What did I see? He's second
player
to do
to have
back-to-back 60. 80-point
season since Brett Hull.
Yeah.
First player to have back-to-back 80-plus point seasons since Brett Hull.
That is crazy talk.
Yep.
So just get the banner ready already for Thomas. Like,
yeah.
He's the best two-way forward we've had since Adam Oates.
I agree, yeah.
And I think if he keeps getting these assists and passing the puck to Kyrou and Snuggerud and blah and whoever, he's going to keep racking in 60 a year.
It's been a monumental season. We set a franchise record for most wins on home ice, consecutive wins on home ice.
Yep.
Most wins in a row. Nathan Walker becomes the franchise leading player in hits in a season.
Mm-hmm.
He topped Ryan Reeves and David Backes, who had like three other seasons of most hits.
Yeah.
So like heck of a season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, no matter what happens in this series, I'm happy we made the playoffs. We needed 100%. To be back in the playoffs. This team needed to be back. And these young players need to experience playoff hockey.
Totally agree with you, bud.
And I think if Jimmy can just get a little more comfortable and start contributing offensively, man, I think we're gonna have some opportunities here.
I think he has. I mean, 3 points and he's played under 100 minutes of ice hockey in the National Hockey League. So
yeah.
He's in the mix almost every time I see him. He's a great two-way forward, underappreciated for that aspect.
Yeah, I'm very pleasantly happy with how well he's distributed the puck as well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Crispy passes. Yeah. So we'll see, everybody. I know the Jets are a great hockey team. They're so good. They've been so good all year. The playoffs are a different beast. I think Montgomery has the coaching edge. I think we are close in defense. And then it really comes down to goaltending. And if Helly isn't on, then we can steal this series away. So let's hope for a long one if we don't make it. And let's hope for some Blues wins starting Saturday. Let's go, baby. And then Josh and I will be there on game three. It's at 8:30 p.m. Central, which is horrendous.
Horrendous
for a Thursday TV. Thank you for that.
But you had to figure. No one. We're not the media market hub.
No.
I will say, talking about that, I think on this stretch, though, Zimmerman, the CEO of like the business side, said TV ratings went up by like 56% from the beginning of the season.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So
they're probably right around where they used to be.
Yeah. Probably. Maybe more. This is huge. So I'm looking forward to it. That being said, let's go Blues. Playoff hockey is going to be wild. And we're going to see who wins the cup this year.
Let's go, baby.
Let's go.